and by the end of the day on July 1st, two Federal corps had been shattered. Outnumbered Union soldiers in those corps put up a stout defense, especially the Union First Corps. Half of the First Corps became casualties on the first day at Gettysburg. The famous Iron Brigade, the most famous unit in the Army of the Potomac, lost two-thirds of its men, 1,200 out of 1,800, in fighting on July 1st. But the Federal troops were driven back through Gettysburg, and they clung to high ground south of town, Cemetery Hill, East Cemetery Hill, by the evening of July 1st. Many argued later that the Confederates could have accomplished more, and Lee hoped that at the time he'd instructed Richard Ewell, who was over on the Confederate left flank, to push against that high ground where the Federal troops were rallying, if practicable. Ewell decided that there were factors that militated against his attacking, and he didn't in the end. I think he had good reasons for that. But what really matters is that the first day ended as a striking Confederate tactical success, one of the best tactical days in all the history of the Army in Northern Virginia, Lee's army having pushed the Federals through town and to that high ground. That night, George Meade arrived on the field. Union reinforcements poured into the area. James Longstreet's troops approached the field as well, all but George Pickett's division, which was in the rear. The question for Lee on the night of the first was, all right, I've won a victory today, now do I keep attacking, or do I go on the defensive and let the Federals attack me? Meade would almost certainly have to attack Lee to drive him out of Pennsylvania, but Lee, always the audacious commander, decided to continue his assaults on the second day. Longstreet didn't like the idea, and Longstreet would sulk for the rest of the battle. But Lee decided on the second to try to attack both ends of the Union line, the Union right at Culp's Hill and the Union left flank, which at that point was somewhere, as far as Lee knew, on Cemetery Ridge. Lee did not get what he wanted on the second day. He wanted early assaults. It was late in the afternoon before the Confederates got going, partly because Longstreet had dallied in his putting his troops in position. When the attacks did come, Longstreet attacked the Union left and almost captured the high ground at Little Round Top, and Richard Ewell's troops almost captured the high ground on Culp's Hill. It was a very frustrating day for Lee, close on both ends of the line, but he didn't quite succeed. He was, on the night of the 2nd of July, confronting the same question. Do I keep attacking now? I've tried it for 2 days, or do I take up a defensive position now? He decided yet again to attack, using the same plan he'd had on the 2nd, pressure against both ends of the Union line. But factors on the morning of July 3rd, the third day of the battle, prevented that plan from being carried out. The Federals attacked before Lee could get going on the Culp's Hill end of the line, so that wouldn't work, and Longstreet argued that his divisions, which had fought so hard on July 2nd on the Union left, weren't up to fighting again, and Lee fell back to another plan, which came to be known as Pickett's Charge. This was a major assault against the center of the Union line on Cemetery Ridge. 13,000 Confederates of George Pickett's division and two other divisions commanded on the 3rd by Isaac Ridgway Trimble and Johnston Pettigrew. These troops would cover about 7/10 of a mile in the most famous infantry assault of the war against the center of Meade's position. And they would fail, of course. It was this, in retrospect, this gallant, doomed assault. About half of the men in the assault shot down. Most of the field officers, many of the brigadier generals became casualties. It was a complete failure, this assault on July the 3rd, 1863, at Gettysburg. Lee immediately rode out among the survivors of this assault, said, "It's all my fault." He took immediate responsibility on the scene, and it was his fault. It had been his decision. It hadn't worked. He patched together a defensive line. Poor Meade, I think, was in a state of at least partial shock because of the scale of this battle and the chaos of it and the fact that he just repulsed this major Confederate attack. He didn't try to launch a counterattack. There might have been some opportunity then, but at any rate, he didn't, and that was the end of the fighting at Gettysburg. The casualties were simply enormous. At least 25,000 Confederate casualties, at least a third of Lee's army had been shot down. Meade's army had been larger, more than 85,000 men. He lost more than 20,000.